We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
James Palmer, who knows this area and this city very well, of the NFL Network, joins us. You can find him on Twitter at James Palmer TV, and make sure you check him out on NFL Network's Thursday Night Football First Look at 2 p.m. Central Time and at NFL Game Day Kickoff at 5 p.m. Central Time tomorrow. Thanks for joining us, James.
Appreciate it, guys. I'm glad you read those out because I hadn't gotten that information yet. So I'm glad we all know now.
That's right.
We're going to be on the field in our times. This is good.
You're
this
right.
Good.
That's
I'm
right.
Actually at the field right now. Yeah.
We set that up for you, James. We let you know your schedule right here on Sports Radio 610. That's what we do here. Hey, there's a lot to get into, a lot of news here. But I'm just curious. You're around football people all the time. How surprised do you think people are about the Texans' start? How they've kicked things off the first two games, their dominant win against Jacksonville, and then playing toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the AFC?
People are surprised. I'm not going to lie. I mean, yeah, you're right. I talk to people around the league every day, and people are surprised. And I think it's also because, I mean, I only came here for a day during training camp. I almost feel like the league just really wasn't paying attention to them during camp, right? It was just like, all right, let's look at what they're doing. Let's look at them on paper. Okay, we're not going to have to worry about them. And, like, there was so many other storylines through camp with so many quarterbacks picked in the first round, right? And we're looking at all these guys, and we're seeing what these rookies are going to do, and Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. And, like, nobody paid attention to what was going on down here until I was at that opener, and you saw them come out with the way that they played. And it was funny, early on you hear from guys, and there's a lot of guys that I know pretty well on this roster that were like, I think we're going to be a lot better than people think. And I was just like, yeah, well, you know, yeah, dude, I like that you guys are this optimistic. But it really is, I think, when you look at the roster, the way they played is – there's guys that have been with multiple teams, right? Meetings are short. Practices are short because they know what looks right and they know what doesn't look right. And they can figure things out pretty quickly because they've all been to a couple of spots, right? And so when you've been around, you know when things look good and you know when things don't look good. And I think David Culley, early on, you know, the hire itself was panned by a lot of people around, you know, nationally. You see the way these guys have played for him and what he's done in a very difficult situation. I know we'll get into it, but everything that he's had to deal with in his first time being a head coach, I think he has done a brilliant job. And he has a, from what I was told by multiple players, a great pulse on that locker room about really having a feel for what is going on in there and what works and what doesn't work in terms of pushing this group.
James, let's start right there, because I think a big part of where they're, you know, why they are, I would say, exceeding expectations is because, man, this football team's coached really well across the board, not just David mm-hmm. Culley. But one thing with David Culley is look, I was one of them. I was in Dallas when Dave Campo was there. So for me, I thought, hey, this Culley mm-hmm. hire is a Campo hire. It's a bridge the gap guy that don't mind mm-hmm. them hiring his staff and those kind of things. But boy, he has really shocked me since the football season started, since preseason camp started. Our training camp started. Boy, he has been a different guy, and I've been shocked. But the level of coaching these guys are receiving is absolutely through the roof, top to bottom.
It really is. And you know, you just go around the league and talk to guys that have played in his position groups, right? And that's usually who you want to talk to, who spent a lot of time with him. And they have a better sense of the type of guy he is and the type of motivator he is and what he can get out of you. But you're right. When you look at the rest of the staff, like James Compton coming in and coaching this offensive line, I mean, that's a really good offensive line coach. And I think that group's played pretty well so far. I mean, they're giving up 2 sacks so far. And I think things could have really went sideways when you lose, you know, Tyrod Taylor against that defensive front. And they still held together pretty well. And I think, you know, you look at Tim Kelly, I think that's a guy that I was told a couple of years ago, like, this is a guy that's going to be a head coach eventually. He is, like, unbelievably smart. And I think we're starting to see a little bit of his play calling, right? I mean, I think the screen to Philip Lindsay has been talked about ad nauseum, the way that was designed and done. I think you really look at his feel for calling plays. I think there are guys on this staff that know how to get the most out of their guys. And I think I take it also back to the roster a little bit, because it's, you know, it's easier for a coaching staff when you know how guys are going to play. And you look at all these guys, and they may not be A-plus players on this roster in terms of talent and the way they're thought of around the league, but you almost, as a coaching staff, know exactly how each one of these guys are going to play. You're not really relying on any rookies, right? You're not really relying until tomorrow night when it's your quarterback, but you're not really relying on very many rookies, or these are guys you don't know what type of player they are. And that allows you to coach them even better, because you know exactly what they can and can't do because you've seen so much film of them.
James Palmer with this NFL Network. I'm sorry, you just slid that pass. I want to make sure. I'm going to get my seat correct and make sure I heard that right. You said that this is talked about in league circles, that Tim Kelly is thought to be a head coach, and this is even prior to these first two games where we've really seen a lot of creativity. That's a thing, Tim Kelly, a head coach in this league?
It is. Yeah, it's been a thing that I wouldn't say like a heavy discussion in league circles. I would say it's kind of keep an eye on Tim Kelly. Like, you know what I mean? Just like, let's see how this develops, because he has the pedigree to be that guy. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, you know, he's going to be Sean McVay and he's going to be, you know, this young. I mean, it's kind of keep an eye on what's going on with him, because he has the intelligence. He has the makeup to be a potential head coach. Now we'll see if it happens, but I do know that's something that, like, you know, is mumbled to people, going, just keep an eye on the development of him over the next couple of years.
Well, look, if I'm gonna be honest with you, James, if you'd have told me that about 3 weeks ago, I'd have been like, what happened? Is James drunk? On what's he doing? You know, what's going on? But look, after what I've seen the last two weeks, man, it's not rocket science. It's been a problem here since Bill O'Brien's been here. The play caller has not been a weapon in Houston for a while now. And and you look at what Tim Kelly's done the last couple of weeks, I think it's safe to say that the play caller in Houston, regardless of who the quarterback is, whether they got 5 running backs and 4 wide receivers on the roster, all those kind of things, set that all aside, he is an absolute weapon. And so, look, I'm picking up what you're putting down right now. Hey, let's jump to Davis Mills real quick, man. Obviously, that's the talk of town and the talk of Thursday night primetime football. All the good we've talked about this coaching, are they going to be able to get Davis Mills, a rookie quarterback, ready to go out there and give him a chance to win a ball game in the fourth quarter?
We'll see, because, man, I've done a lot of work with this Panthers group, and, you know, I talked to Hassan Reddick yesterday and talking to that group. I mean, man, they are so fast, and they mix things up, and they'll come at you with a bunch of different things. And, you know, you got a group up front that he's going to be trying to read and dissect that has, you know, at least a half a sack from 8 different guys so far in 2 games. I mean, if that doesn't tell you that they come at you from a variety of ways and guys are being unselfish of setting up other guys up front to let them go and eat, I think that's been kind of the bread and butter of the Panthers. And the offensive line's going to have to help them a lot in pre-snap diagnosis, a lot of those things. But if you don't know Davis Mills, I mean, I think you got to go back to, like, this is the guy that was the number one high school recruit at the quarterback position when he was coming out. He's very, very bright. Obviously went to Stanford. He's an academic. I actually was talking to his quarterback coach, David Morris, today, who also worked with Mac Jones in the offseason. He kind of works with those guys and has been working with them for a while. And I think the biggest thing that David told me today, and I think this helps in Davis in what he's doing for this game, is he told me he's a lot like Eli Manning in a sense, the way he's wired, to where he doesn't get really flustered. He doesn't really get rattled. He studies his butt off, and he's been doing that at the, you know, here at the stadium. I know that. But when he goes home, he'll hit the sheets and then next morning get up, do it again. Like, he's not a panic guy. Like, I only have a short week to get ready for this. Are you kidding me? Like, I wish this game was on Sunday for my first. That stuff doesn't go through his head. He's just like, all right, let's put the work in And what we get done, we get done. Like, he's very level-headed in that sense. And I think that'll ease some of his nerves on tomorrow night when he's going to get thrown into this. But I think he's a little bit more mobile than some people think. I think he's obviously very bright, but I do think he has the deck stacked against him a little bit in the way things have gone. But I just don't think he's going to panic. I think that's one positive for it. That doesn't mean he won't make mistakes, but I don't think he's going to panic. And I think that that puts Tim Kelly and him in a decent spot.
All right, James Palmer, NFL Network, with us. Real quick, with the game, the receiver position for the Texans is in a really rough spot, and we haven't heard any additions at this point. Right now, as I look at the depth chart, they've got Brandon Cooks, Chris Conley, Anthony Miller, and Andre Roberts that are eligible to play. Are you hearing anything about the Texans adding to their receiving crew?
I haven't heard anything yet, and, you know, they still have till tomorrow to do it, to move anybody up, and I think they would move up somebody from the practice squad to make that. But, I don't think it's entirely in a terrible spot when almost like Danny Amendola for Anthony Miller is kind of like a swap. Obviously, you lose Nico Collins, which hurts you, but I do think you still have those three tight ends, which help you out. I think that does help you out in some sense. I think I've really liked, I don't know about you guys, but I've liked what I've seen from Pharaoh Brown through these first two games. I think he's really come out and shown us some, you know, some decent hands, and I really like Pharaoh. So I do think there's going to be options to go with the football. And I like that, you know, to kind of take it back to Davis, he spent a lot more time getting number one reps than probably some other backups and rookies that were going to be a backup did during training camp. And he spends a lot of time after practice with Brandon Cooks. So that actually gives him a little bit of a help with his number one target. Cause man, he's been getting targeted like crazy, and expect that to continue.
James, in your conversations moving forward, you can go ahead and take that Pharaoh Brown to the bank. He made catches throughout training camp that most run-blocking tight ends just don't make. I mean, they were consistent. So you're hitting the nail on the head there. Hey, on the Davis Mills front, before we jump to the other side of the football and the opponent this week, the Carolina Panthers, Davis Mills, he's going to get a 3 or 4 week, you know, run here at the starting position, depending on what, you know, what happens along the way, I'm sure. But how big of an opportunity is this? How much of an impact can this 3 or 4 game stretch have here on his career, positively or negatively?
Oh, a ton. And you almost, it's funny. I was just doing, you know, our afternoon show, NFL Now, on the field, and I'm talking to my producer, and I'm like, what if he goes out and just balls and this happens to Tyrod Taylor again? Like, yeah. It's almost like, man, this poor guy. Because I'm going to say it. If he doesn't get hurt, I think they beat the Browns. I really do, the way that they were playing. And I do feel for him. But anyway, for Davis, I think this is a huge audition. I mean, there are people that think he is a really, really, really good quarterback. And I think he was kind of overlooked. Well, he wasn't kind of. He definitely was overlooked because of the group he was in, right? I mean, you look at the five guys going in the first round, and you look at all the talent that was there, and Trevor Lawrence is, the best prospect we've seen since Andrew Luck. There are people thinking if he went back to Stanford and came out again, he would have been a first-round pick. So the perception of him, I think, was a little bit off. David Shaw, his head coach at Stanford, I don't know many head coaches who don't rave about their players because they want them all to get drafted as high as possible because it helps the program, right? But man, the way he talks about Davis Mills kind of makes you get fired up of going like, is there more here that we don't know? You know what I mean? So I think this is a really great audition for him to go out there with an organization that is really right now, and I think it's the right approach, and what Nick Casario is doing is go out and play. Let me see if you can play, because everything's on the table right now. And I think that's the opportunity he's walking into, which how many situations do you get that as a third round pick at the quarterback position in your rookie year going, this is an open competition almost everywhere on this roster. That's the way our general manager's handling it. I can make something happen here.
James Palmer, NFL Network, will be covering the game tomorrow between the Texans and Panthers. Hey, real quick, on the Deshaun Watson front, as we see, Davis Mills has to step in because of an injury. If something were to happen to Davis Mills, it's really Jeff Driskel only on the roster, and the only other quarterback is Deshaun Watson. If something were to happen, could you see him stepping on the field for the Texans at all? And if so, would the league even step in to stop that in any way?
Technically, I don't see the league stepping in if the Texans wanted to play him by hindering that in any capacity as of right now, the way things stand with their investigation, the FBI's, Houston Police Department, with all of them. I don't see them stepping in if the Texans wanted him to be on the field. I don't think the Texans will put him on the field. And that's my opinion. But listening to everything that I know and talking to, you know, kind of the right people, I don't think they would put him on the field. I think they would make a move at the quarterback spot. And I think another part that kind of shows you that a little bit is, and I asked David Culley this directly on Monday when I was here, you only have two quarterbacks that are healthy on your roster outside of Deshaun Watson. Can you put Deshaun on the field moving forward in practice to help your team in some capacity if you're only going to have Davis Mills and Jeff Driscoll? And he said no. So if he's not going to practice in any capacity to help the team, I don't see how they would pass that and go straight to, hey, we're shorthanded, you're going to play.
All right, we appreciate you jumping on with us, James. Enjoy the game, and we'll enjoy watching you. And we're glad that we were able to give you your schedule this week.
I appreciate that. I mean, that's less on you guys and more on my bosses, I think. Yeah.
All right, James, enjoy the game tomorrow.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.